Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today we're celebrating a votive mass of Our Lady of the Rosary. Her feast falls on October 7th, which is tomorrow, but the mass for Sunday kind of trumps Our Lady. So we're celebrating today. This whole month, actually, we know is dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. And this is primarily due to the fact that the liturgical feast of Our Lady of the Rosary is annually celebrated on October 7th. And it was instituted in honor of the Blessed Virgin in gratitude for the protection that she gives the Church in answer to the praying of the Rosary by the faithful. Namely, the occasion was the Battle of Lepanto, when the Holy Father asked Christendom to pray for the Christian navy to overcome the invading Muslims who wanted to destroy Christianity. That was Pius V, St. Pius V, in the year 1571. And today, in the Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples not to take joy in their own successes. And our Holy Father gave all the credit to Our Lady. He knew it wasn't his own power. The Christians knew that it was the Blessed Mother. The Muslims knew it was the Blessed Mother at Lepanto. The Christians were far outnumbered, but that it was God himself and God alone, just in today's gospel, who gives the power, and we're the ones to give him the glory, regardless of the circumstances, in good times and in bad times, in success or in loss. God always assures us of victory in Jesus and Mary. And Jesus himself assures his disciples that he has all power over evil, including the power over Satan and evil spirits, who are nothing more than fallen angels who conspire against us. In fact, that's why Jesus came into the world, to overthrow the evil one. And St. John assures us that we too, as disciples of Jesus, have been given spiritual authority and power for overcoming the works of darkness and evil. Notice St. John says the works of darkness and evil. We should never think that we have any power. We're not more powerful than Satan. He has a far superior intellect, far superior being than us, puny, finite humans. It's through the power of God, through the power of Our Lady, that we're able to overcome temptation, through the power of the Rosary. And I don't know if everyone here had an opportunity to walk the Rosary path this morning, but I had not seen every image of each mystery, but they are indeed beautiful and inspiring. And if you can get that opportunity sometime today, I would encourage you to look upon them. They bring those mysteries to life, those mysteries of our faith that we contemplate during this month of the Rosary. Such a very simple prayer, frowned upon and discouraged by many so-called scholars who think it's just for old women and children and the uneducated. And in today's gospel, Jesus thanks his heavenly Father for revealing to his disciples the wisdom and knowledge of God. That he's hidden these things from the wise and the learned. It's so ironic. The wise and the learned today think that we came from apes. And they persecute and ridicule anyone who thinks otherwise. You know, what does Jesus' prayer in today's gospel tell us about God and about ourselves? Well, first of all, it tells us that God is both Father and Lord of earth as well as heaven. He's both creator and author of all that he's made. I mean, that should convince any Christian that evolution's a joke. It comes from the lips of Jesus himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God. Is he going to mislead us? Jesus' prayer also contains a warning that pride can keep us from the love and the knowledge of God. Sinful pride springs from exaggerated self-centeredness. It closes the mind to God's truth and wisdom for our lives. You know, the angels fell into pride and they were cast out of heaven. The virtue of humility, the only true remedy against false pride, and which is very different from the feelings of inferiority and low self-esteem. You know, these lead to true humility leads to a true recognition of who we are in God and our dependence on God. Well, Jesus, he contrasts intellectual pride with childlike simplicity and humility. The simple of heart are like children. He says, we're not going to get to heaven if we don't become like children. Not childish, but childlike, in the sense that they see purely, you know, without any pretense. They acknowledge their dependence and trust on one who is greater, on one who is wiser and more trustworthy. They seek one thing, the greatest good, who, of course, is God himself. Simplicity of heart is wedded with humility because humility inclines the heart to grace and truth. Jesus teaches us to be meek and humble of heart. Just as pride is the root of every sin and evil, so humility is the only soil in which the grace of God can take root. It alone takes the right attitude before God and allows Him as God to do all. God opposes the proud. So many people think, I've got to do it my way. Why don't we let God be God? You've got people who teach natural family planning, and that's approved by the church. But what about God's family planning? To trust God to provide, to trust God when we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis and the whole world's falling apart and we don't know what we're going to do. God knows what you're going through. It's like the disciples in the boat. The storm's raging and they're scared to death. The boat's going to sink. They're all going to die. And our Lord's asleep on a pillow. He must have been exhausted to sleep during a raging storm. So they wake him up. And he says, oh, you have little faith. Did they really? They must not have believed he was God or the Son of God. You really think the boat's going to sink with the Messiah in it who has a mission to accomplish? Trust. Yeah, the storms rage in our lives. And we may think our Lord's asleep, but He wants us to trust Him. The grace of Christ, like humility, inclines us to God. It disposes us to receive God's wisdom. We're constantly reminded, man does not think of like God thinks. God's ways are not man's ways. Nothing can give us greater joy than the knowledge that we are God's beloved and that our names are written in heaven. That's what our Lord tells us to rejoice in. Jesus, being the perfect revelation of God, makes a claim which no one else would have ever dared to make. What's he tell us? He shares with us this wisdom of God that is hidden from the proud. One of the greatest truths of the Christian faith is that we can know the living God. Our knowledge of God is not simply limited to knowing something about God, but we can know God personally. The essence of Christianity and what makes it distinct from Judaism, Islam, and other religions is the knowledge of God as our Father. The knowledge of Mary as our Mother. Jesus makes it possible for each one of us to personally know God as our Father. St. Augustine wrote, God loves each of us as if there were only one. If we were the only one, if we were the only one to love, to see Jesus is to see what God is like. In Jesus, we see the perfect love of God, a God who cares intensely and who yearns over men and women, loving them to the point of laying down his life for them on the cross. Jesus is the revelation of God, we're told, a God who loves us completely, unconditionally, and perfectly. You know, Jesus also promises that God the Father will hear our prayers when we pray in his name. That's why Jesus taught his followers to pray with confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. He's taught us the Our Father, the Hail Mary. Our mother's given us the rosary. If we're to become like Jesus, we need to meditate on what Jesus did. That's the rosary, our Lord's life, Our Lady's life, the mysteries of our faith. How else will we know how we're to act if we never think about how they acted? So let us heed our mother's request and pray the rosary so we may become like her and her divine son.